This is Audio Digest Ophthalmology, Volume 49, Issue 22, for the week of November 21st, 2011, beginning with Robert G. Fonte, Clinical Associate Professor of Ophthalmology, University of Colorado Denver School of Medicine, discussing thyroid eye disease, state of the art, and what we still don't know. Dr. Fonte was recorded at the 2011 Annual Clinical Conference presented by the Kansas City Society of Ophthalmology and Otolaryngology. Dr. Fonte.
One of the great things about ophthalmology is that we, unlike almost every other specialty in medicine, except maybe derm, are able to see what we have to diagnose 95% of the time. Talk to the patient, ask them a couple of questions, see what's kind of what their main concern is, and you can usually figure out what the problem is. Whether the problem is that they've got von Hippel-Lindau and a detachment, or they have a hyphema, or they have CMV retinitis, whatever it is, we can see it. And we're able to make the call and know what to do, and we can make the diagnosis usually in their very first visit. I mean, it's one of the great things about our specialty. So you might say to yourself, why the hell would I want to deal with Graves' disease? Because Graves' disease, half the time we have trouble making a diagnosis, and we certainly don't know what to do about it the rest of the time. So it's actually a difficult disease, and it's sort of unique in sort of the world of ophthalmology in that sense, that we know very little about what's going on. I am, though, going to talk about the clinical knowledge base that we have, show you some typical and difficult cases, and talk a little bit about some of the new developments that have been happening in research on this disease. So first of all, I'll say, you know, what are we talking about here? It turns out that there's five or six different names for Graves' disease. Graves' disease is one that's certainly universally understood. There's people who call it Graves' ophthalmopathy, Graves' orbitopathy, thyroid ophthalmopathy, thyroid-related immune orbitopathy. I think the one that's mostly been adopted by the ASOPRS group is thyroid eye disease, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, the key is all these things ultimately are the same thing. So what don't we know? It turns out there's a lot of stuff we don't know. We don't have any preclinical animal model. It doesn't appear that there's any animal that this occurs to. We don't really understand what's happening. We don't know what's going on in this disease. We have no unifying concepts to integrate the anatomically divergent manifestations of this disease. Why is it that somebody has, you know, a pre-tibial mixed edema and extraocular muscle enlargement? There's no consensus on the clinical criteria for treatment, who really needs to be treated and who doesn't. And there isn't even clearly a good treatment. So we've got a lot of problems. So in terms of what we do know, we can say, well, this is an autoimmune disease with lymphocytic infiltration of the orbital tissues in the setting of hyperthyroidism. That's probably our best definition that we've got. I go a long way telling patients that their hyperthyroidism is not the cause of the disease, that their thyroid and the eye are both victims of an autoimmune disease. It appears to be related to a series of antigens that are common to both the thyroid, the orbital fat, and the extraocular muscles. The putative best player so far are TSH receptors and TSH receptor antibodies, but there's all kinds of pathways involving the cytokines, monocytes, lymphocytes, antibodies. It's a complex situation. We don't really know what causes it. We have all these things that are happening at the same time. It appears to affect women certainly a lot more than men. Two peaks in terms of age in the 40s and in the 60s. About half the people who have Graves' disease affecting their thyroid will develop eye disease. If you look at it the other way, about 90% of the people who have eye disease will be hyperthyroid.